Good morning, Greater Alton. How you doing today? I want to welcome everybody out today. In case you are unaware of where half the people are at today, or what seems like half the people, we have a marriage retreat down in Kentucky going on as we speak. And so there are several couples down there. And we also, so many people are gone that the kids don't have classes. I know there is somebody with a group of them in back right now. But the kids are out here today, and let's see how that goes, huh? Anyway, if you noticed, Barb asked me when she first got here, she says, why are there no notes in the bulletin? Change things up on you just a little bit. We've been in a series of what does Jesus do? And we've been talking about it for several weeks. We've talked about what does Jesus do with the Bible, with the Word of God? What does Jesus do with temptation? Looking at how he actually acted while he was here on earth and how he interacted with these different topics. Tim talked about last week, what does Jesus do with tragedy? I talked about, I think it was 2 or 3 weeks ago, what does Jesus do with fear? And I also got to talk about what does Jesus do with politics? And guys, we've got some really good feedback on these. Very positive responses from you all saying, wow, this is good, I like that. But today I just wanted to kind of take a break, okay? Not everybody's here. Wanted to do something a little different, especially with all the kids in here. I do have a target here, a plan to be short. That's Bub, that's my grandson in the back. They say he recognizes my voice when I'm up here and he happens to be in the room, so there we go. Let's see if he crawls up here. Anyway, we're trying to keep things short for that reason, but I wanted to just kind of, if you want to say hit pause or just reflect for a moment, you see, because you can take any one of these subjects, any one of these topics that we've talked about and that we will continue to talk about, and you can apply it, and you can change your life. You can look at what the way Jesus does things and you say, okay, I can do this better. But I don't want us to forget something. I don't want us to forget the why of what we're doing. You know, I referenced my grandson in the back, and I love having him with us. Susan and I got to help babysit him for the week. He spent his first night at our house last night. Yeah. Yes. Quite the joy. No, it wasn't that bad at all. But guys, we get to be around him all the time, and cause he lives on the same property as us, and it's a joy, it's a pleasure, something I never planned on having in life. And he's getting older, he's 10 months old next Sunday, I believe it is. And that's a really big deal, and you just heard him, whatever he had to say, blah, you don't know if he's in response to me or not, but I'm really anxious for him to really talk, to interact with him. And do you know what's gonna come? It's going to be in 2 to 3 years. But you know what's coming, don't you? Once they learn to talk, they're going to ask one question a lot. You know what that question is? Why? Why? I'm waiting for him to say, Pops, why is the sky blue? Pops, why is the grass green? Pops, why? 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 And how many of you get to the end, or you just say what? That's just the way it is. Right? But guys, this question of why is hugely significant. I remember years ago, I think I'd heard this before, but I was in a business meeting with other business owners. And the gentleman who was speaking there, the special guest who was coming to speak with our group, he made a statement. He says, you've got to know your why. Why do you do what you do? And he was talking in a business sense, and I don't know that he had any kind of faith. I don't remember that. I don't remember if he was trying to say you've got to have a reason for doing things that transcends your business, that is beyond it. But you got to know your why. Why do you do what you do? And guys, it's the same way when we look at what Jesus does. Why are we looking at what Jesus does? Okay, and I want to emphasize this. If you've been around here very long, you listen to me talk, I'm very big. It's not so we know the rules. Okay, it's not so we know the laws. Relationship with Jesus is not a legalistic contractual agreement. All right, I've been told by multiple young people who have what they call deconstructed and left their faith in Jesus, decided they don't want to do it, and they make this statement. I heard this statement made multiple times, which means it's being repeated out there somewhere else in society. It says, I don't want to live my life by a bunch of rules. And my response to that is, Jesus doesn't want you to live your life by a bunch of rules. And I've never got to go on with some of these and to say, well, what about the rules? No. You got to understand. Jesus wants to live your life for a purpose. That's what it is. The rules are simply Him letting you know how you're hitting that target, how you're doing. It's a way to measure yourself, if you will, to grade yourself. You see, in Genesis chapter 1, you're familiar with it, verses 26 to 28, it says, we were made in the image of God. And I talk about this all the time. That doesn't mean we were made perfect. That doesn't mean you come out of the womb and that's the way God wants you. Okay? And I've been told by Bible scholars that the more accurate way to translate that made in the image of God is made to image God. It is more of a job description than it is a qualitative state. Now there is some qualitative state to it, but it is with a purpose. God created humans for the purpose of imaging Him, of representing Him, of being like Him. And as you know, if you've read your Bible at all, you're familiar with it, you've been in Sunday school as a kid, Adam and Eve started this ugly chain of events where they rebelled against and rejected God's design and purpose and said, we want to live for ourselves. Okay? We don't want to live for this purpose of yours. We want to choose for ourselves. We want to follow our desires. And guys, from there, the whole Old Testament is about God trying to get our attention and man continuing off on their own way. Everything from the destruction of the world in Noah's day with the flood, where God said before the flood, He said, every inclination in the hearts of man is bent towards evil. What they're saying is, goes, you gravitate towards not being like me. Your natural desires and inclinations are to live for yourself and to represent yourself, not to represent me. And guys, this is the story of the Old Testament. It's a story of God trying to get humanity back on track, to live by the design and purpose for which He created humans. And it didn't work, and He knew it wasn't going to work. And so finally He sends His Son, Jesus. And guys, I love it. One of the things I love about the Bible is the way it says the same things with different words. Okay? I think that's important. I think that's hugely important because we tend to be legalists, like I just talked about. And we want to know the rules. We got to do things a certain way. And when God says, let me show you different ideas, different ways of saying the same thing, some of them resonate with us better than others. And this whole image of God thing, you don't find that represented in the New Testament the way it was in the book of Genesis. You don't find it there. You find other things where you see we are made to become like Jesus. We are to become like Christ. We are to become like God. We are to be transformed into the glory of God. And guys, the most crazy part about, why did God change it? God didn't change anything. You see, He created humanity to be His image, to be His representative. And it says in Hebrews chapter 1 that Jesus was the only one who did that. And what it says is bound around Hebrews 1. It says Jesus was the exact representation of His being. You want to know what it meant for Jesus to be sinless? If for Him to be perfect, it means that He exactly represented God. He did it 100% correct. No mistakes, no errors. He was the exact. So he told his followers that one of them said, I think it was Thomas, he says, just show us the Father and that'll be good enough for me. And Jesus goes, you've seen me. He said, why? Because he's the exact representation of God. And so guys, as we look at and we have continued to look at what does Jesus do, the purpose is the purpose for which God created us. To represent Him. To represent Him in every area of our life. I like to say thoughts, attitudes, and actions. Okay, that is the why of why we are created. I know you don't have your Bibles open, but let me read you something. What happened here? Oh, I'm on the wrong verse. I'm going to read you a passage here you're all probably familiar with. It's in Romans chapter 8, verses 28 and 29. See, verse 28, most of us are familiar with. It says, and then we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. And guys, I'm sorry to say I've seen far too many Christians in years gone by at their wit's end about trying to find their purpose. What's their little niche that they can fit into and feel good about and feel like they're using their talents and feel like God has called me to do this very thing? Well, guys, it's not that hard. And that's what Paul's telling the Romans here. He says, all things work together for the good of those who've been called according to His purpose. And he goes on to tell us what that is. He says, for those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. So if you want to know what your purpose is, if you've ever asked that question, if you've ever wondered about it, it is to be conformed to the likeness of Jesus. That is what your purpose is. All your thoughts, all your attitudes, all your actions are to be conformed to those about Jesus. And guys, that's why we look at these topics of what does Jesus do? Okay? We looked at what does Jesus do with politics? You think that's a significant issue for today? I think it is. I knew I hit the target right when I talked about that because I had people from both political sides tell me, you hit the target. You see, guys, we need to be more concerned with what Jesus wants than a political party wants or a political ideology wants. And you need to know something. You get to vote for the president and for the governor and for the senators and all that stuff. You get to do that. But I believe Jesus is far more concerned with how you vote every day with your thoughts, attitudes, and actions. See, because you're voting if Jesus is really going to be king of your life. You're not voting for somebody to represent you and to make the world better. You're voting to be a part of the true king who is going to make things better. And you're going to do that by the way you live and by the way you interact. And see, guys, today, if you want to talk with Tom, Tom runs the website. He's the one that gets the notes together. And him and I had a few conversations this week about what to call this, about we're going to have PowerPoint and whatnot. And he was talking to me back in the back, and I'm assuming because he may put something, he'll put at least the recording online. And they're like, what title do you give it? And I go, I don't know. I said, how about, what am I doing with Jesus? You know, we're looking at what does Jesus do with these different topics. What am I doing? That's what the question I want you to ask yourselves this morning. What am I doing with Jesus? You know, am I looking at Him with curiosity? Am I still investigating Him? Am I looking at Him so that I have this head knowledge of Jesus, that if anybody asks me a question, I can answer it, or I can at least sound somewhat educated about Him if I get involved in a discussion about Jesus? Or am I truly making Him the King of my life? See, guys, when I talked about politics 2 weeks ago, what I talked about is, what does Jesus do when I bring my politics to Him? Okay? Why? Because Jesus cares. Jesus cares about what you post on Facebook. Jesus cares about what you say if and when you get involved in a political conversation. Jesus cares because you are going to either represent Him or misrepresent Him in those conversations. And we have a chance to vote every day for the true King of this world with our thoughts, attitudes, and actions. Are we going to line them up with Him? You see, guys, there's two things that Jesus taught that were very, 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 very plain. Okay? And that the main thing I want to emphasize here is individual responsibility. Okay? Individual responsibility. What does that mean? That means that when at the end of time, when Jesus comes back, there will be a judgment. And each one of us is going to stand before Jesus and have to give an answer for how we've lived our life. That's it. And we're not going to be able to make this excuse that our spouse was the problem. Okay? We're not going to be able to make the excuse that our parents or our children were the problem. We're not going to be able to make the excuse that our job was the problem. We're not going to be able to make the excuse that our government was the problem. Or even that our church was the problem. We're going to have to stand before Jesus and we're going to have to give an accounting for what I did for Jesus. What I did with Jesus. You see, guys, because there's churches and churches make mistakes, right? And there are spouses and there's no perfect one, right? And there are parents and there are no perfect one. And there are jobs, and there is no perfect one. And Jesus doesn't care about changing your circumstances as much as He wants to change you. And you're going to have to stand before Jesus, and you have to give that answer. In Matthew chapter 7, He talked about this, guys. And I love this passage. Guys, what I want you to pay attention to as he reads this is how He is speaking to the individual. To us as individual. Matthew chapter 7 is the last chapter. Jesus' most famous teachings is called the Sermon on the Mount. They're found in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And I'm going to begin reading down in verse 15 and reading through the end of the chapter. This is the conclusion of His sermon, of His lesson. And some people might say, well, this is, you know, if you look at it legalistically and these are the rules, this is what He has to say about His rules. All right? But listen to this. It says, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear good fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear bad fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. See that, guys? He's saying, watch out for people who don't teach right. Look at the fruit in the lives of those you are quote-unquote following. Don't go into church and check your brain at the door. Okay? I mean, we are basically sheep, guys. We really are. We like somebody to follow. We like somebody to make the tough decisions for us. We like that. It makes it easier on us. And Jesus goes, no. That's not going to be your excuse. If you get caught up with a false prophet, if you get caught up with a wolf in sheep's clothing, I've told you to watch out for it. Personal responsibility. He goes on. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. You see, guys, so many times people want to look at Jesus and he's our Savior, and that's all we care about. And we're going to call him Lord, but we're not doing what he wants. Okay? And he says there's going to be people in that day who are going to say, God, didn't we not do many things in your name? Did we not do wonderful things in your name? Did we not even do things that you wanted us to do? And Jesus goes, no, you were doing them on your own. You didn't know me. You weren't a part of me. Individual responsibility. He concludes his sermon with this. He says, therefore, anyone who hears the words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who's built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Guys, what's he saying is, what are you going to do with my words? And so, guys, as I'm closing out today, I just want to leave you with that. What are you doing with Jesus? I was speaking to Eli in the back. Eli, the gentleman up here who gave the little talk before communion. And he's in the back and he said, Gary, I got to tell you, that lesson you talked about, what does Jesus do with fear, has stuck with me. And guys, I just got to tell you, we've received, again, more positive comments on these lessons than normal. Okay? Yeah, we're really usually bad, but no. We've got more positive comments. And as I was preparing to be up here today, I was thinking about this. I thought, I wanted to know, well, what are people doing? I mean, it's one thing to hear, and one thing is to be encouraged. It's another thing to be convicted and challenged. But when I start getting these comments, be ready for me, okay? When somebody tells me, man, that was a good one, I needed to hear that, or what was it? You know, I'm going to have a follow-up question, or I may even text you a day or two later and say, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? See, because it doesn't matter if you're encouraged. It doesn't matter if you're emotionally feel good and fluffy from being here. It doesn't matter if you're challenged and convicted. What matters is if you walk out of these doors and you become more like Jesus. And that's what we're chasing. That's what we're chasing. Guys, I am so challenged. I'll say this. I know this is a contentious topic, but I'm going to say it. I'm not saying anything about politics when I say this, but I am challenged by the death of Charlie Kirk. I am challenged by his words about how he wanted to be remembered, because it had zero to do with politics. I understand his faith influences politics, but when he said, I want to be known as a man, remembered as a man who was courageous about sharing his faith, that's something I need to get a hold of. Guys, I'm thinking about that and I'm going, okay, how can I become like that? How can I become a man, more of a man? Because I believe I share my faith, guys. And I believe I'm somewhat courageous about it. How can I do it more? What step does God want me to take to do it more? And guys, that's what I'm asking you today. And that's what I'm asking you. If you think back at these lessons and you go, boy, I enjoyed that. I was challenged by that. I was encouraged by that. Go back and look at that lesson. Go back and look at those notes and ask God, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to be more like you? Okay? That's what I'm challenged. That's my lesson. We're all done. The gentlemen are going to come up, and Coral, you're going to come back and sing a song after I pray, and then we will pass the baskets. If you have a prayer request, you can drop that in there. Y'all know what to do. If you're here visiting, we don't ask you for your money, all right? If you're not here visiting, please help support things. Let's pray. Father, it is an incredible journey following your son Jesus. Father, I'm a guy that likes to see what's ahead. I like to plan. I like to know what's going to happen. And I don't always like surprises. Father, following your design and purpose for humanity comes with surprises. You told us that your spirit is like the wind. You don't know where the wind comes from or what direction it's going. You said, so it is with your spirit. And you've given your spirit to live inside of us and to guide us. And we don't know always what adventure's coming next. But Father, it's exciting. And Father, I thank you for that. Father, I thank you for the clarity that you give us when we truly seek you. The direction and the peace that comes from trusting you and living according to your design and purpose. Father, I want people to see Jesus through me. I want more people to see Jesus through me. And Father, I want the same for every member at the Greater Alton Church. I want them to be able to be told by those around them that you are not the same person. And they just simply say, I'm just being a good and faithful servant. Father, guide us in that. Father, give us that heart. You tell us in the Old Testament, looking towards the New Testament, that you'll take out our heart of stone and give us a heart of flesh. Father, that just simply means you can transform us from the worst to the best. Father, help us to submit to your desire of transformation in our lives. And it's in Jesus that we pray. Amen. I will never be the same again. I can never return. I've closed the door. Same again.